Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. Southern California tickets are now on sale for the Steel Wars 200th podcast live at the Scum and Villainy Cantina on Saturday the 2nd of February at 3:30 p.m. And we will be joined by special interview guest Eric Walker, who played Mace Tuani in the 80s Ewok made-for-TV films A Caravan of Courage, An Ewok Adventure, and Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. Get ready for behind-the-scenes stories from the films, what it was like to work with Warwick Davis, and of course, the maker, George Lucas. Plus, we'll have a special audience mic set up if you've got a question to ask too. And if you can, hang out for a bit after the show and take in all the fun of the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Pre-sale tickets are just $10 and are available from SteelWars.com or $12 on the door from the Scum and Villainy Cantina. I cannot wait to talk Ewoks with Eric, and I hope to see you there. But for now, let's get on with the show. For the second year running, the Kessel Toy Run is harnessing the generosity of Star Wars fans worldwide to gather toys for hospitalized children and their siblings. The amazing project is headed by this week's guest, Brandon Manriquez, who, along with being a huge Star Wars fan and collector, works in a pediatrics emergency room and sees firsthand what a bit of Star Wars magic can do to brighten the days of these sick little Padawans. On this episode, we talk about the origin story of the Kessel Toy Run, some heartwarming stories from last year's run, and of course, talk to Brandon about his Star Wars fandom, his amazing collection, and his 2-1-B collecting focus.
So one of the cool things, last year, you know, Sal Perales from the Rogue Rebels.
Heard of him.
Him and his family are awesome. Yeah, he's been around.
Heard of them.
They all showed up. Him and the Saber Guild Temple Prime, it's like the Orange County cosplay costuming people showed up to help hand out the toys. And there was probably, I'd say, a dozen of them, all different characters. But there was a girl named Alex, and she dressed up as Rey, like from Jakku. Mm-hmm. And she was her handing out Rey dolls as Jakku to little girls as Rey was like, kind of like they're excited to see her than they were the toy. Their eyes just lit up and they couldn't be more pumped about us being there. And so that was one of the moments that I'll always carry with me, no matter how many years we do this or we don't. You know, it was just awesome.
If you want an hour of feel-good Star Wars chat, you are in the right place. This is Steel Wars episode 191. Brandon Manriquez makes the Kessel Toy Run. Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And each week we talk to someone of interest about it. And this week's very prestigious guest taking time out of his hectic toy driving schedule is our buddy from the Kessel Toy Run, Brandon Manriquez. How you doing, Brandon?
Good, Steel. How you doing?
I am just loving life. We're podcasting. It's Monday afternoon. My child is sleeping or at the very worst quiet. So life's pretty good, dude. How about you?
Yeah, it's been great. I finally got a couple of days off of work, so I've just been milling around the house, getting ready for Thanksgiving, cleaning,
I do get now a few comments, especially when I do the outros of the podcast. People just message me and just like, oh man, you sound tired. You sound real tired. So
I am having a
4 p.m. coffee for to amp up to talk some toys and kids with you, mate.
Hey man, hats off to parents. I see you guys all the time at work, and I don't know how you do it because I can't manage my own day. So to have another little human being in my life, I don't know if I could do that. So good for you guys.
Do you know how you do it?
How?
You just got no choice.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, there's no option.
Someone's depending on you. So it's pretty important. Yeah.
So true. Now, maybe a bit overzealous a segue, but there are some young children depending on what you're doing this holiday season, and that is the Kessel Toy Run. And we're going to go right into its origin story and some great stories from last year's drive. But before we get into that, let's just get it out there right now. Give us a gist about what the Toy Run's all about and how people can contribute while they are enjoying this hopefully very fine podcast that we're about to record.
I've been friends with Jason from Making Star Wars, and now this is podcasting, for years. And I'd always message him about Star Wars stuff, and
I feel like just for that, Brandon, you deserve some sort of charity drive. Being friends with him for so long, you're the one that should be tired in this conversation, not me.
Yeah, it's been a fun, long friendship. We've known each other, I think, since 2000. But he's been a good buddy. We played music together. We've kept in contact all these years, and he always, kicks me down some Star Wars news. So I've always appreciated him, but I always wanted to participate somehow, and I never really knew how I could do it because I don't know. I know a lot about Star Wars, but not that much, as much as Jason. And then I became befriended Haas online. We would just talk about Black Series, Hot Toys, whatever. And Jason had mentioned that he had done charities in the past and they didn't really pan out. They put in a lot of work. They on their end, as far as selling tickets or what they were doing, and then the company that we're doing it for never, reimbursed them as far as the charity goes. They would never give it as much as they put into it. So there was a lot of stuff going on last year, and I just felt like I had to do something positive. And I talked to Jason, and I kind of pitched it by Haas, and they both loved the idea of just doing Star Wars toy drive. Toy drives are, you can find them all over the place, but I wanted to do just Star Wars toys. And that's it, because that's what Christmas has kind of always been about, with Star Wars for me. So it kind of just, everyone just jumped on board, loved the idea, caught fire real quick. And before I knew it, my office was just overwhelmed with toys from everybody, from overseas, from the United States, all over the United States, to local people I work with. And what better way than to give to kids that don't get to go home for the holidays. The hospital is a lonely place. Even when there's a bunch of staff or family comes to see you, you're not at home. So you're not as comfortable as you can be. And even the kids that are really sick, from the oncology ward, their family members only get to come see them 4 hours a day. So it's not a normal Christmas. So, dropping off a bunch of Star Wars toys, it just all kind of made sense and fell into place.
Now, I really want to get into some of your fandom, but before we do that, give us one this was all worthwhile memory from last year of a kid, receiving one of the items from the toy drive.
Just one?
We're crafting some well-brewed content here, Brandon. We will be smattering them with great stories throughout the whole episode.
Okay. So one of the coolest things, last year, South Rowles from the Rogue Rebels.
Heard of him.
Him and his family are awesome. Yeah, he's been around.
Heard of them.
They all showed up. Him and the Saber Guild Temple Prime. It's like the Orange County cosplay costuming people showed up to help hand out the toys. And there was probably, I'd say, a dozen of them, all different characters. But there was a girl named Alex, and she dressed up as Rey, like from Jakku. Mm-hmm. And she was her handing out Rey dolls as Jakku to little girls as Rey was like kind of like they're excited to see her than they were the toy. Their eyes just lit up, and they couldn't be more pumped about us being there. And so that was one of the moments I'll always carry with me, no matter how many years we do this or we don't. You know, it was just awesome.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Let's start at the very beginning, Brandon, and let's talk about your first memory of Star Wars.
My grandmother purchasing Star Wars toys from the local pharmacy here in over in Artesia, California, which is not far from Long Beach over here. And my earliest memory is carrying around a 2-1-B Rancor Keeper, and then from the micro collection, a little Luke. It's like a 1-inch tall Luke Hoth character that's supposed to be hanging out upside down in a Wampa cave that has somehow survived 39 years now, and I still have it. So those are my earliest memories of toys, or just like these background characters from Star Wars. She didn't want to buy me the expensive Lukes or the Darth Vaders, and that's kind of what was left on the rack was the peg warmers, the 2-1-Bs, the Linker Keepers. So I played with those nonstop till they broke. And then my dad, you know, in the old, I'm sure you remember, we used to dub tapes. So you get the VCR, get a second VCR, and then you would dub a tape so you have your own copy.
I think it's best if I don't admit to anything at this time. I'm not sure what copyright, the statute of limitations right. on that. But right. yeah. I've read about it on the internet, and it disgusts me. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't condone it anymore. But my dad would, he either did it just to keep me busy or because he knew how much I enjoyed it. But he would just put those on like anytime I was running around the house pretending to be anybody. We were living on a farm at the time, literally, where I had one friend and nobody else around for like 15, 20 miles. So Star Wars was everything. We didn't have any, I think we had one channel on the TV. So all we had were movies, and we just played that thing consistently, and it hasn't stopped since.
When, like, at that age, and, you know, before DVDs and, you know, even like easy to get video releases of it, because, you know, my memory was you could only hire it from the video shop. Like you couldn't buy it from anywhere when I was little. And when you...
Right, so where...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, where we grew up, there was one video shop maybe within like a 40-mile distance. So even that was pretty hard to come by.
Wow. To have that on tape, to have Star Wars... You know, I think we had one recorded off television, and I hope the punishment for that is far less than Brandon, you know, linking video players together. It sounds like the 80s version of a meth lab is like connecting a few VHS players.
Yeah.
You're the Heisenberg of Lucasfilm copyright violations. Congratulations, Brandon. We're finding out a lot about you. This is like you're trying to, this toy drive is to make amends for all the wrongs that you've done throughout the years. Sorry for burying you like this, brother. But when you had that video, it was like, I will never not be entertained ever again. I can put on Star Wars
ever again
whenever I see fit. This is the best. Like, I remember just playing, like, it was a mandatory Saturday afternoon thing to do. Like, it wasn't like, I might watch it. It's Saturday afternoon. I'm watching Star Wars with my Star Wars figures. This is how it's going down.
Yeah. Yep.
as true as the sun rising in whatever direction it rises when you were little. I don't know. I didn't have a compass when I was a little boy. We weren't that well off. We had mini rigs. We never got to have the big ones. I do enjoy the irony, Brandon, that one of your few childhood Star Wars figures was 2-1-B, the medical droid. Do you think that inspired your career path?
It definitely could have. I've always, I don't know, in some roundabout way, maybe. I never thought that I'd have the position that I do. I feel very fortunate. I worked very hard for it. But it's become my favorite character. It's the focus of my vintage collection. Every chance I get, I try and pick up a carded one. It's weird how things all work out.
That's so cool. I didn't realize that was your focus. When did the for those that maybe aren't in the collecting circles, something that I never knew what people did was that people have a focus and they collect around a certain scene or a certain character.
Yeah.
Has that been going on since the dawn of Star Wars, or have I got my head in the collecting sand?
I don't think so. I think what just happened was the characters, like all the characters themselves, started to become more scarce. And then, people started taking them in and realizing that there's subtle differences in releases of these toys. So they're like, well, how can I collect my favorite character over and over again and still have it be different? And it just took off. And some people do, some people go big. There's people that do Boba Fett focuses, and those, you find it like a 21 back. When I say 21 back, that's like how many characters on the back of the card. Boba Fett, you're talking about $3,000, $4,000, and people will have a couple of the later Empire Strike Back ones, and I don't know how they afford it. So a 2-1-B focus, it manages to be semi-affordable. And so I did that, and that's, if I see a different one, I'll go out and grab it. You got the foreign cards, you got the different numbers on the backs, you got the stickers. There's all kinds of differences in them.
Have you ever met anyone with an FX7 collecting focus? Were you friends or rivals?
I've seen them. I've never met them.
Oh, you don't sound very impressed. Yeah. That sounded very... No, well, oh, yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, yeah. Glad I haven't smelled them.
I have two of them, and it's funny enough that, that card, like if they put that toy out today, that would be a paid warmer. People wouldn't be down for it. But if you look at it, it's actually one of the most beautiful cards I think they ever put out. Like the color scheme to it is fantastic. But I don't think I could do a focus of it.
It's an amazing figure. Like that's maybe that people don't know is essentially like a tall fire hydrant with lots of legs that pop out. Almost a little bit Doctor Who-y or something. But
finding one without a crushed bubble is difficult too.
Ah.
For FX7, like it's just hard to find.
I seem to have this weird memory that the card is just FX7 flying in space or something.
It is. But as far as like the reds and the racing stripes around it go with the blues and fades into the whites, it's just a gorgeous card. It's very, very simple, but it's just a beautiful card. I've always admired it.
I've got to look this up. FX7 vintage card.
I found a German one that's beat to crap. Probably about a year ago. It's bent, it's folded, it's all beat up, but it's German, so it makes it a little more desirable. But I think it's a good card.
So I've pulled it up, and my memory is correct. And this is the funny thing about doing this podcast, Brandon. I've got all these childhood memories locked away at the back of my head, and I'm still unpacking them. through this podcast. I do remember staring at this in the Safeway supermarket in Rosebud, Victoria, Australia, as a little boy, and just going, I've seen all the films. When did the robot fly through space? Because this droid, this, like, I don't know, it looks like a power outlet fire extinguisher from the future. It's who, like, even if I was very familiar with, like, the, because back then you didn't really, like, for me, I didn't have Empire on tape till later, so I didn't get to analyze it. Like, I could barely work out it was from Star Wars. And then to have the carded picture to have no bearing on where it is in the film at all. I was like, I have to admit, I now, it's all coming back to me. I was a bit sus on FX7 medical droid. I'm like, are you in Star Wars? You know, photos, or it didn't happen. There he's, and actually up here, it's got one of the, he's got one of the little claws out, and then I've got related images and the tri-logo version, his claws pointing the other way. The photo's been used backwards.
Yeah.
All right. Is this, am I not breaking any new ground with this discovery? Is that what you're telling me, Brandon?
I've seen a lot as far as, like, I'm a collector first. So
are you, you know, FX7 gatekeeping me?
I'm looking at the tri logo right now, and I see what you're saying. It's just, but like the photos I'm looking at are perfect images. Like if you see the bubble, they're perfectly maintained. It's a gorgeous card, but that's not, finding one of those in real life is impossible, especially when it comes to the tri logos.
Well, it's impossible with that attitude. Actually, I think we are looking at the same one. That card is very amazing. It almost doesn't look real.
Right.
That's why. Have they ever done this in collecting? Like, I know Steve Sansweet recreated a very rich little boy or girl's room for Star Wars Celebration. Has anyone ever recreated a shop? Like, just made a, like a, an installation, an experience of what it would be like. Do you see those photos of like all the, you know, it's just Kenner figures for like 5 meters. And then there's Slave Ones, and then there's AT-ATs. Has anyone ever reproduced that? That would be a very calming thing to visit.
Probably, but I've never seen it. But I don't doubt it. There's some collectors out there that they just have the money and the time to invest in it and do kind of what they want. So it wouldn't surprise me to see it.
Do you ever have like vintage toy dreams?
No. Not that I can recall.
Really? I have them all the time. No. Like where you like,
no,
you discover you go into some shop and at the back there's just a box. And it's full of figures.
Full of vinyl cape Jawas.
Yeah, right?
No, I don't think I have.
What do you dream about, Brandon?
Work.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, you know, call lights going off, people upset, people yelling, doctors giving orders, just, you know, normal work stuff.
God, way to make me feel really bad, Brandon, about my going on about my dreams. That is, I've never been more shut down ever on the podcast than that. It's like, I dream about finding old toys. What do you dream about, Brandon? Saving lives, buddy. Saving lives.
Oh, man. Sorry, pal. That's not the direction I was headed.
So you, you know, you sort of fandom evolved.
Well, hold
on. Sorry?
In these dreams, what toys did you come upon? Was it, you remember, or was it just toys in general?
Just finding vintage toys, you know? Just what that, like, when in your dreams, like, what diseases are you solving? Or are you just like, it's just random life saving? So you sort of your fandom started around the toys, and from what I hear, you've established quite a collection. Can you confirm this?
I can. I don't have the largest collection by any means, but I think I've put together a pretty well-rounded collection. I started probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I used to collect everything as far as comics, movie props, you know, things like, you know, movie. When I say movie props, not like one of a kind ones, like the ones they just sell at stores, but they only make like 5,000 of them or bust, you know, stuff like that. But it was all over the place. And I just decided that I didn't like it and that there was no focus. So I just sold everything. And then I just started concentrating on my Star Wars collection. And it just, I met a girl and I married her, and she's patient enough with me that she gave me an entire room to do what I want with. So I turned it into my Star Wars collection room.
Nice.
And I work on it whenever I can. And I'm pretty proud of the collection. It has a little bit of everything.
What sort of is it? Is it like toy based or prop replica based? Like what's the meat of the collection?
It's the meat of it is vintage. A lot of carded figures, a lot of the original loose collection, box vehicles. And recently I got the Hot Toys bug, and that's kind of taken over the vintage bug for a bit. But I'm always looking for vintage stuff. I think that's the fun part. You know, you go out to antique stores or garage sales or wherever and try and find the stuff, and you can buy it online, but that's not really like tracking it down, you know?
Yeah. When I was finishing off the 92, I was trying to do it like very organically. Like for the last few figures, I was like, I'll just have my list and I'll just look for them around the place. I was down to a final Ewok. I think it was like Romba or something, which I thought I had, and I feel like I did have, and I'm not sure where it is. But one night I like wallpapered this cabinet, this IKEA cabinet with like Super 7 wallpaper that was like Star Wars flocked wallpaper. And I was like, all right, it was like Saturday night, and it was when I was still in Australia and Jackie was over here, and I just decided I'm never going to set up this toy cabinet unless I just say I'm not, like, I'm never going to have the free time. So I just have to dedicate tonight to do it. And so at about 2:30 in the morning and a bottle of red wine, I'm ready for it all to come together. And I realize, like, because I've spaced them all out and I've got Wikipedia out, so I'm putting them in like release order. And so things are going in different time, you know, like I'm starting at one end and then at the start and at the back, and I'm making them meet up and I'm making sure they're all spread apart evenly, you know, all this OCD nerd stuff that we love. And then I realize I'm about to take the photo and I'm like, I'm short one Ewok. And oh my God, the drunken rage that one can have by themselves after a bottle of wine at 2:30 in the morning. It was very sad. It was very sad. But the thing was, which I was very disappointed about, I thought when I finally did get them all together that like something special would happen, like the lightsabers would light up. And it did nothing. They just all sat there like really old toys. Makes you think.
Yeah. It's all it does is complete the completionist for you. So you're like, okay, well, that's done. I've done it. I succeeded. Now what? And you kind of have to figure out what direction you're going to go in after that, because you worked so hard to get all of them together.
Mm.
What do you do now?
I utilize the, like I'd buy stuff in lots and then I'd sort of, you know, pick out a few and then sell the others or sometimes just keep them because, you know, you might need them for a diorama, who knows? Better be safe than sorry. But,
yep.
So what's the pride of the fleet? Is it the 92?
No. My father, a couple of years ago, he kind of like, as far as Star Wars toys go, my grandmother bought me my Star Wars toys. My dad was never like a toy guy. So probably about, I'd say 4 years ago, my dad bought me my first Star Wars toy when I got into nursing school. And it was the Power of the Force Tatooine skiff, still in the box, graded in acrylic, completely preserved.
Wow.
And it's still like, if the house caught fire, I would grab it and run. Yeah, and it means more now because like my father passed this year. So it's like, I look at it and it's just like an awesome moment I had with my dad. As silly as it sounds, as an adult, you know, I got a Star Wars toy from my dad, which I still think is, I just love it.
That's it's weird, like what things can get lumped on a toy or an old bit of plastic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What emotions they're just old bits of plastic. And
yeah,
just through happenstance and the way you grew up, like certain ones become very important old pieces of plastic.
Yeah.
And
I can't even open it. I can't even, it's encased in acrylic. It's in a box, but it just means that moment meant like the world to me. I remember typing to a bunch of friends, like other collectors on a website. And he walked in like after he gave it to me, I just started crying. I was like, this is like one of the coolest things ever. And so I stare at it all the time. I love it. And it just happens to be one of the coolest things they ever put out. But that's another story.
Well, I didn't want to focus on that too much, but it is one of the illest toys of all time, from easily the best scene in all of cinema history. So,
yeah.
Your dad had
and it shows
pretty fine
it
taste.
Shows Luke whooping on the cover shows Luke whooping Boba Fett that. I don't know if you remember the cover of it.
No, I don't. Oh yeah, it's like a cartoon cover.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's a sick cover. Like for the Power of the Force, the vehicles, they went with like artists' impressions of what was going on in the film. But
yeah.
I do feel a bit robbed, Brandon, that we didn't get the classic, like, Kenner toy set up with, like, the one-color background and a happy kid playing. I would have liked to have seen, you know, what figures made it onto the skiff, because I was always fascinated with the choices. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember, Return of the Jedi Y-Wing, it was Admiral Akbar in the cockpit, and General Madine was sending him on his way, and it was like, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that with the Falcon, with those vehicles. I don't think they did it with an X-Wing. They did do it. We were talking about that playset the other day, the Cantina Bar. I'm pretty sure there was kids on that too, right? And they were like setting up the figures.
Yeah, one dude. And sometimes it was just like the colored background with nothing. And then I remember, I think a few Empire Strikes Back ones, like the AT-AT was sort of like a sweet diorama in the background. But they actually, they'd snowed out the studio or something. But I always admired those kids. I was like, they're having a good time. It's a pretty sweet day. This is their, like, where they, like, Kenner... friends, like were they employees, kids, were they, you know, potential Macaulay Culkins just enjoying their one day in the sun?
Did they take the toys home and get to keep them? Like, do they still have them? Do they want to sell them? Like, what are they doing now?
An interesting line of questioning, Brandon. Who's your guy or girl or droid? Who's your main Star Wars character?
As far as like face characters goes, or just characters in general?
Say again?
Because, like, are you talking about, like, face characters as far as, like, the on-screen all the time, or just characters in general? Because obviously B2-1B would be the droid.
I mean, is 2-1-B your favorite character?
Well, if I mean, just naturally because of memories. But do you mean like who's my favorite characters on screen all the time?
Yeah.
Oh man. I have to say R2 easily. It's always been a toss up, but I'd have to go with Chewie. I think Chewie's my favorite. With the release of Solo, that only kind of solidified like how cool I thought he was, even though I'd never seen it. And I mean, he's constantly saving everybody's ass in every movie. And I just don't know how you get any cooler than Chewbacca.
Yeah, I was never like,
he didn't even get a medal.
I know. Very harsh. Ugh. But yeah, it was the late 70s. It was a different time. I was never like I like Chewbacca, but I was never like, do you know what I mean? Like if there was five figures, I wouldn't be buying the Chewbacca first. Luke Skywalker, ride or die. But Solo, he killed it in Solo. Like, and that's what I think one of the best things, or one of the, maybe the best compliments to the film, was that it made me like the three returning characters more. You know, not that I was, you know, mm-hmm. you know, how dare anyone say a word against Lando Calrissian, but it made me, it deepened my love for the three of them. And I think that's a pretty good result.
Agreed. Yeah. They could have named that, like, and I know we've talked about it before, but a Chewie story, you know, it was just about as much about him than anyone else. And we kind of confirmed all of our thoughts and how he, who he was and what he was about, like loyalty. You know, he has feelings. He understands people's empathy. He's just an amazing character. I was even talking to somebody on Twitter last night. I think it was Claire from, the Imperial Senate pod? I don't know.
Yeah.
She was talking about like the saddest moment. And I was like, for me, every time I see Force Awakens and Chewie screams when, you know, Kylo and Han happen, like each time I tear up just because that entire moment encapsulates so much, because you know everything they've been through together. And he's not even speaking English. He's just making a sound. And mm-hmm. you're like brokenhearted. You know, I'd say Chewie.
Yeah, that scene is so interesting, because I didn't know for sure that Han Solo died, because I kept my distance from the likes of Jason Ward
right.
and his ilk. If only I could have kept that up. But I had a feeling. Do you know what I mean? Just based on like how Harrison Ford was handling himself and things that I'd heard him say then and now. So I wasn't shocked, I wasn't shocked that it occurred, but when it did occur, it was just shocking that, oh my God, they did it. Like, he's gone now.
Yeah.
And he won't be, you know, and I think this is one of the underlying issues with, you know, people that aren't feeling the sequel trilogy, is they didn't get that, you know, the Han and Luke and Leia and Chewie or whatever, like that team up, them all in the Falcon again 30 years on. And I don't know where, because that's so predictable, because it's a thing that everyone, I guess, and I use everyone as a slang word. But a lot of people, John, I mean, I'm not going for the statistical everyone. This is a very loose everyone. You know, wanted them just, you know, back together again. But because that's obvious, does that mean you don't do it? Like, do you know what I mean? Oh, you've got to do this. Well, it's probably a good reason not to do it, or it's a reason to do it.
Right.
Which do you think?
I think it's a reason not to. Like, I don't want predictability. I don't want something new. I think that's one of the reasons I enjoyed Last Jedi was I don't think I said anything for 20 minutes walking out of that movie because I was just trying to put everything together. If I wanted to see, would it have been cool to see on screen? Yeah, of course, but I don't need it. You know, like, if I need that, I can visit the original trilogy. But, you know, seeing Luke and Leia together was just as special as seeing Leia and Han together. Having all three would have been cool, but I don't need it. I like the idea of having to use our imagination to picture that, you know.
Yeah, the Luke and Leia scene, man, and awesome. You know, it was just so emotionally loaded as well because of, you know, the real life occurrences, and it was sort of. One of the things going into the film where I was like, oh man, I hope they got a scene. Like, because sometimes you'd see them like backstage photos together or on set. But if you followed the history of those on set photos, sometimes like they're the Vanity Fair photos and stuff like that, where it's like, these aren't things that actually happened in the movie. These aren't people that were together at this time. You know, there's the classic Phantom Menace. I think it's Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul on Tatooine. You know, never happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Vanity Fair had it in there. So I was so relieved to get like that, like such a special scene. Like into the film. But it's interesting that whole, you know, do you give people exactly what they want? And
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's so, you know, it's just that. Like, I don't know. I guess the actual experience of seeing Luke Skywalker come back and ignite the green, like it, because it was telling me exactly what I wanted if they did that. Like, I guess it would have been awesome. But I do find the way they went, like, very compelling and very gutsy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot, very risky. But, you know, all of us have complaints. We can pick it apart all we want to as individuals, but just enjoying it. Like, I think it took me like the second viewing where I was like, man, this movie has me flipped upside down. I just don't know. I just don't know what's going on, but it took a second time. And I didn't hate it the first time. The second time it just confirmed that, like, why I loved it so much. But if you give, even if you give everybody what they want, you know, there is this base of people that are still going to find ways to complain about it. You could spoon feed them the things they want and the things they think they're missing. And they're going to find some way to be gross, weird, vile people. And so it's like, you might as well just take the risk and do what you think is best for the fandom. You know, I don't think it's not people like you that are like, well, I didn't get to see the green. It's like, okay. But it's the other people that are, you know, being real pritch about it. So I don't think they should give people what they want. I think they should just do what they think is necessary.
It sounds like you sound like the leader of an army now. It sounds like a famous wartime quote or something. Like, don't give them what they want. Give them what's necessary.
It's our Independence Day.
Los Angeles, tickets are now on sale for our final live podcast of the year at Geeky Tees, Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. For the first time ever, we'll be doing a live podcast version of our annual Listener Prediction Review Show, where we review all the Star Wars news predictions that you guys made at the start of the year. I'll be joined on stage by a grip of previous Steel Wars guests, along with the live audience, to help us decide who was the Jedi Master Star Wars predictor for 2018. And spoiler alert, I did not fare well in this competition. It's going to be a hilarious afternoon of live Star Wars fun, Saturday, December 15th, 4 p.m. at Geeky Tees Burbank. Tickets are on sale at merchostore.com. The link is in the show notes. Well, we sort of touched upon, you know, a little bit how people our age, like, relate to Star Wars. But, like, seeing, you know, so many kids come through the hospital and stuff, like, does that, like, and seeing how they relate to the characters, how does that sort of change your outlook about, you know, what the franchise is about?
Well, I think it's like an instant bonding moment. You know, I can walk into a kid's room at work and they can have a Star Wars shirt on or Star Wars shoes and we're instant friends. I start talking to them about Star Wars and it makes whatever procedure we have to do or, you know, assessment we have to do to make sure we're taking care of them much easier because they want to talk about it just as much as we want to talk about it, but maybe their parents aren't as into it. And so I'll just find whatever random piece of Star Wars info I can and pull it away from them as far as like what they're wearing. And we carry on a conversation and their visit is much easier than it could have been.
So what you're saying is if a kid comes in with a Star Wars t-shirt, you're giving them the top shelf drugs, the premium.
The good stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a little bit to take home, a little bit for the hospital.
Some
a little bit to sell on the street.
Someone comes in with like a Batman versus Superman t-shirt. They're just getting placebo.
You're waiting 9 hours in the waiting room. You go to the back of the line.
These are jokes, people. It's all about a toy drive. It's all about a toy drive. There's no real distinction, is there, Brandon?
No, and I have no control over you know, what walks into the ER and what doesn't. It's based on how sick you are.
When you're talking Star Wars with these little Padawan, like what things surprise you that they gravitate to or they've got interests in or anything like that?
I'd probably say, you know, there's all this hubbub about, you know, female leads and female characters, but when you're talking to the kids, you know, they're just as excited about Rey as they are Luke, Kylo, Finn, BB-8, anybody else. Like they don't care that it's a girl or a female. They adore her just as much as anyone else and they want to see what's happening with her. And they love the action sequences. So I'd probably say that's one of the more surprising things because, you know, parents can tend to, you know, teach film or comics based on gender, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll steer them towards that direction. But a lot of parents are just like, you know, like who you like. If you like that character, go ahead. So it's been pretty cool to see that, you know, not the next generation coming through is okay with what's going on now. If they could give a little life lesson to some of the adults that we have right now, it could be pretty neat fandom all around. You know, it doesn't take much to change
a kid's direction, I guess, you know, kind of keep with that idea. And that's what was so special about having, you know, coming back around is having Sal's group there. The kids seeing like actual live heroes in front of them, you know, who knows what impact that's going to have on a kid down the road. You know, like Ray came and visited me, Kylo came and saw me, and, you know, but he was really nice. He wasn't a jerk all the time. You know, you just don't know what moment it's going to take.
One benefit of having Sal do these hospital visits is that he's already in a hospital when he hurts himself. So
yeah,
you're doing doubly good work there, Brandon. You're helping out some kids and the first family of Star Wars fandom. So you're doing good stuff. How does that when all the characters visit, like, do the kids put down their their gripes, their grudges with the Imperials and the First Order? What's going on there?
They do. There's no real discrimination. It's they're just so excited. It's hard to, unless you see it, and you know, we'll make another video this year when we do the delivery day, and hopefully we can capture some more of that. But their eyes are just so big, and I know it sounds a little cliche, but like hopeful, you know, like they're just in awe. They're standing there with like heroes, or even if it's not their heroes, they're dressed up as villains, but they're still there and they're still visiting them, and they're getting down to their level, you know, down on one knee and talking to the kids. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing to see. I don't know how to like verbalize it to paint a better picture, but these kids, man, they just get pumped about any Imperial, Star Wars Rebel, Star Wars character that walks through the door. That was easily the best thing as far as the toy drive went, the best addition that we did. You know, we were trying to figure out what's going to really make it over the top. And then Sal stepped in and just made it happen. And just fantastic.
But you know, Sal, that's Sal's suggestion for everything. Do you know what I mean? Like when he found out about Uber Eats, he was like, oh, maybe we can dress up as Star Wars characters and deliver the food. Or, you know, when he was trying to be a postman, it was like, we can dress up as Star Wars characters and deliver the mail. So it just happens that this perfectly fitted in with this situation. Do you know what I mean? If you offer that suggestion for every aspect in your life, one day it's going to click. And finally it did. So we salute Mr. Perales with his dedication to that idea. Let's get down to the hard tax, Brandon. What are the best ways, or all the ways, in order of bestness, that people can help out with this?
Okay, so last year I was trying to figure out ways to do this, and my sister has been doing a food drive in Washington State for years. And so I kind of went to her for advice, like, well, how can I make this work? And she just suggested doing a gift wish list on Amazon. So people could go there and you could either use it as an outline of kind of stuff we're looking for, or you can just pitch stuff, click, buy, and send, you know, and then you're done. You don't have to go to the store and go through all, you know, tenants or steps to get us the toys. So we've done that. And I went and got a P.O. box specifically for the toy drive. So you can go to Amazon, go to Gift Registry, type in the KesselToyRun@gmail.com. Look over the toys. If you find stuff, send it, or just get an idea. And then just send it to the address listed on the flyers. And that seemed to work. But we are getting lots of stuff from people from their own personal post offices, where they're just packing it up on themselves and picking it out, which is what we wanted. We wanted people to pick toys that they think a kid would enjoy in the hospital, or an activity book, or a plush toy, or a blanket, a pillow. As long as it said Star Wars and it's brand new, we're all about it. You should see how much old power, the Force stuff we got that's still in the packages, which is fine by me. But, you know, it's some pretty Shadows of the Empire, like the old, I had a Chewbacca that looked like more like a Rambo the other day. He had like an eye patch, like a crazy gun,
Snoover,
all kinds of stuff. But
Snoover, yeah. one of the toy heroes of the 90s is the bounty hunter Snoover, which is actually Chewbacca in Snoover's. It's not actually Snoover. It's Chewbacca cosplaying as Snoover. Very complicated.
Yeah, I had never seen it. But so people are sending, you know, that stuff, which is great. And the best way is probably Amazon, but people are more than welcome to send, and you know, any way they want to. We've been getting stuff. We've been getting a lot of stuff from Louisville. There's a group called the Louisville Galactic Alliance. They're the group that all I can really find on them is that they do charity work for like cancer research, but I can't get a hold of anybody. But they've sent us probably near 100 action figures. I don't know. I'm not kidding. Like, I just went to the post office today and there's another box from them, which makes like 8 or 9 boxes from them. They're just sending tons of action figures, Star Wars Unleashed, those ones that come with the comic books, little micro figures, like the old, I'm looking at a Jar Jar Binks in there even. There's all kinds, just tons, like 100 action figures just from this one group. And I can't get a hold of anybody. If they're listening, I wish they would reach out to me because I'd love to thank them personally.
So I've pulled up, you've got a very easy to click list here of wish list things on Amazon, which we will link to in this episode in the notes. If you're listening to this on a podcast app and you look in the notes for this episode, the link to get to this wish list, and this is all suggested things that will get sent straight to you guys. And oh my God, I have to order this for a little dude or dudette. The Comic Images Jabba the Hutt creature. It's a little teddy bear. It looks like Hasbro scale Jabba the Hutt, but it's plush. Have you received any of those yet? You should just have a room full of these. They're so delightful.
We haven't got one of those yet.
All right, I'm on it.
One of the other things we did this year too, just to kind of tie in, is we, you know, last year was such a success that we didn't know it was going to happen. We donated to the children's hospital I work at. They're still going through those toys, so there's only like they have like 2 or 3 bins left from all we donated. So we added on the CHOC, which is the Children's Hospital of Orange County, and the Ronald McDonald House of Long Beach. So we added 2 locations because it turned out so well that we wanted to kind of spread the cheer.
That's so dope that just fans' generosity means that you've it's a good issue. It's a good issue. And while it's awesome that, you know, you guys are just killing it, I guess it's important not to get lax with not sending in something, because the cool thing is that everything you send ends at the other end with making some, you know, little Star Wars fans' day.
Yeah. Hopefully no one gets discouraged and says, well, they've got enough, they're going to be okay. We can definitely use, you know, everyone's donations, because we'll just keep doing this. And I think one of the reasons it's so successful is that there is a, you know, we talk about that bad chunk of fandom more than we actually should, when there's a huge chunk of the fandom that actually wants to do something nice and contribute and be a part of something. And this is that outlet to do it. Like we can make a kid a collector. We can, you know, make a kid day when they're going through some really terrible shit that we've never been through, and you know, we don't want to experience. Like, the majority of Star Wars fans are good people, and they want to do something. So I think this is one event that's going to show like how great we all are, and we're not going to even think about that other sector of the fan.
Too true, too true. I'm going through this wish list here, Brandon. There's a Star Wars Forces of Destiny Jyn Erso adventure figure, and I'm not sure if you've checked this out, but it comes with like a baton. That's some real talk for Jyn Erso out on the streets.
She seems quite
lethal.
You know, what we got this year, which I'd never seen, was a Rey and Kylo combo pack.
Ah, yeah, I see that.
I'd never seen that before. We got one a couple of weeks ago.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What's been maybe one of the things donated that you were just like, how does this exist?
The other day we got a Porg and Porglets. I didn't know that. I didn't know that existed. And the other one was, oh God, what are their names? The Fathiers.
Yeah.
Downtown Brittany Brown sent us a Fathier like stuffed plush animal. And it's awesome. I mean, it's good. Like 15 inches tall by 16 inches long. I mean, it's a good size plush doll, but I had never seen that. I didn't know that their Fathiers were created into plushies.
Oh wow, I'm a bit red faced, Brandon, because I've got that plushie on my top shelf up there, standing next to Director Krennic. So, I'm very familiar with the plush Favier. It was I'm very aware of it, but yeah. So we'll link to this Amazon wish list, and it's I don't know. I think it's like such a amazing thing that you've done, Brandon, and it's I kind of think I don't know, maybe you can chime in on this. Quite often I think like collectors are like sort of pegged as like materialistic people, but I sort of my experience has been like when it comes time to give or share, they're at the front of the pack.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Most collectors, you know, if anything, they can trace it back to trying to get someone else to find what they love interesting. So, like, if I can make a kid a collector by dropping off a bunch of Christmas presents for him, that right there is a victory for me. You know, it gets them involved in Star Wars. It creates this positive vibe in fandom. So, yeah, I think.
How is it for you that you've organized this thing from, you know, seeing sick kids in your hospital and you want to share your love of Star Wars? Was that sort of like, were you seeing kids use Star Wars as a way to cope, or like how are they integrating it like before the toy drive? Did you notice?
No, I had just spent, before I was a nurse, I had spent a lot of time in the hospital, with my father. Like I literally lived in a hospital for 2 years. So I knew from experience how lonely of a place it can be, you know, like I said before, regardless of how many people are there. So, you know, that in combination with seeing parents go through, you know, the doctor telling them, you know, what's wrong with their kid or what they're going to have to do or how long they're going to have to stay, in combination with that, I just figured, you know, there's no way that this can't work. Like kids need something during these, the things they go through are so unreal, and they just need some type of positive moment. And if you can sidetrack that kid from that day from thinking about what procedure they have to go through or what they're going to have to do tomorrow or the surgery they're going to have in a week, if you can take that away for, you know, a couple of hours, whether that's watching one of the movies or the Rebels or playing with their new toys, coloring in the coloring book, like there's no bad effect. You know, there's no negative effect that can happen from all of this. You know what I mean?
Hmm. I imagine it would be a huge weight off like the parents' shoulders as well. Like, you know, I think at the start I was talking about how tired I was, but I'm tired off a perfectly, you know, fingers crossed, healthy little boy. I can't imagine like the burden of, you know, having a young child or young children and, you know, one of them being, you know, sick enough that they're in your hospital. It must be a huge, like, you must be getting some very grateful looks from across the room.
We did. And that was, you know, I told you at the beginning of the show, I had two favorite moments. The other one was, you know, if you go to our Twitter, there's that post that has the link for the Amazon gift wish list. There's a little girl holding a Chewbacca backpack. Oh man. Like as soon as we walked in that playroom, like she just stole all of our attention. She was the most adorable little girl in the world. And her mom was there and her mom's friend. And the mom watching her interact with, she was talking a lot to Liz Perales, and she was sitting there calling with her, and we gave her this Wicket backpack, and she was just interacting and being as cute as could be. Her mom was crying because, you know, she had not seen her this happy in a couple of days because she'd been going through treatment. So, like, that is an awesome feeling, you know, giving those parents, the you know, those tiny moments of happiness through months and months of treatment. So, yeah. That's the other one I won't forget for sure.
Yeah, I've got that photo up, and that is, you know, it's almost too much to bear. You know, she's got the drip in her arm, you know, all that hooked up. So you know, there's, you know, something going wrong medically, and then she's holding up this Wicket backpack, almost like a face mask or something, and this is the rad thing about, like, Star Wars. I'm like, oh, she's a Wicket fan. Yeah, like, she's my mate. Like, I could hang with, you know, I could hang and we could talk Wicket. We could easily, we're friends. We're Wicket. We're fellow Wicketites. Do you know what I mean? And it's yeah, that's really special.
It is. We're pretty lucky. We're pretty fortunate. And, you know, if I failed to mention, you know, people that have just, since it started, people have just stepped up to the plate. You know, I always mention Evan DeCellis. He does all of Blue Harvest artwork. I think he's done some for you as well. And he, you know, I never met the guy. I've never talked to him. And he jumped at the idea of creating the graphics and the cards for us. And, you know, just people like him and people like Oz, people like you out there spreading the word, everyone under and making Star Wars. You know, I'm just a guy, like a conduit that's just collecting the stuff for everybody and then handing it out. It's everyone, this is like a team thing. It's not just me. So, you know, thank you for promoting it. Thank everyone else.
Yeah, it's a team effort, Brandon, but, you know, you're the one mobilizing us, buddy. Do you know what I mean? So you've done an amazingly good thing. Like it's so cool. It's so cool. And it's outstanding that it's, you know, it's spreading. And when you look at, you know, the photos with this little girl with her Ewok backpack, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like, I'm selfish that I want to send stuff to like make their day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, and just with that thrill of like a thrill that you understand of, you know, being a little kid and getting some Star Wars stuff. It's, it's quite tangible. There's something about it that, So I guess how we bring this home. All right. So before we wrap up, Brandon, for everyone that is keen to contribute, there is a bunch of ways. There is, I know Hawes just put up a new episode or I know Hawes just put up his second year of the Blue Harvest holiday special, and that is $4 on Bandcamp for, I think it's like a 4-hour sort of podcast special talking to Star Wars fans about their Christmas memories and stuff. And everything from that goes to buying toys. Is that right?
Yeah. So we don't do cash donations. That's not, I didn't want anyone to ever wonder where their money was going. Cause you know, you see charities and stuff on television or newspapers that are, you know, CEOs are going on vacations with people's donations and stuff like that. So we didn't want to mess with that. So the only person we take donations from is Blue Harvest. Whatever money he gets from the holiday special, he sends to us, and we just go on Amazon and buy all the toys we've been wanting to buy with it. And then we'll obviously share that with all the Blue Harvest listeners. Of what they were able to do just in that.
So are you just buying all Kiati Monday figures with the Blue Harvest money, or Horace is being a little bit loose?
Oh man. Yeah.
How would that go if an entire ward of kids just got episode one Kiati Mundi figures?
I'm laughing because I'm visualizing like just an entire container of those showing up and trying to hand those off to kids.
But you've got like one of Sal's friends is there dressed as Kiati Mundi as well, handing out. And then next year when you're on the podcast, you're like, oh no, it was the most special thing I've ever seen, Steele. Kiati Mundi giving out Kiati Mundis. The kids were befuddled, yeah. But kind of grateful.
Yeah, it would be. God, I have visuals of that. Just okay.
All right, so we've got the Blue Harvest special. We have got the Amazon wish list, which you can search on, if you look up wish lists on Amazon, it is thekesseltoyrun@gmail.com. Or for ease of use, just click the link in this episode's show notes, or you can also send in your old toys. So I guess maybe if people, you know, you said you're not, you're not checking the copyright date of these, but if, you know, if there's old toys and they're mintish in sealed package, is that making the grade?
Yeah. You know, if it comes from a smoke-free home and they don't look too trashed, you send them our way. A lot of my donations last year came from, you know, as Star Wars fans, your friends always give you stuff for birthdays or holidays or whatever they think you want. You're like, oh, that's great. And you just kind of set it aside and they're doing something very nice, but it doesn't exactly fit in your collection. Mm-hmm. I just rounded up all that stuff. I was like, well, I'm just going to make some kid's day and give all this stuff to the donation. So, you know, there's a lot of us fans that have a lot of stuff sitting around that don't necessarily want your collection, but we'll make another kid's day.
And you can't really get mad at someone for re-gifting to a little sick kid. Do you know what I mean? I think you get a pass on that.
No.
So that, if you've got toys, you know, maybe your local shop has got an amazing special on Black Series, you know, figures or whatever. They're $4 and, you know, you can drop $40 on that, or, you know, you can buy one and send it in. And is to Brandon Manriquez, Post Office Box 7232, Long Beach, California 9087. And that address will be in the show notes as well. There's always drama in the LBC, and there should always be donated Star Wars action figures. Yeah. Is that how the, that Snoop Dogg song went, or no?
That's exactly how it went. Yeah.
Okay. Great. And
been confirmed.
And what about on social media? It's at the Kessel Toy Run.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much on every site: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's either Kessel Toy Run or the Kessel Toy Run. You'll find it.
Just get there. Just get there. Well, Brandon, I am, you know, to help get the word out and stuff. It is my honor. So I think what you've done is a credit to Star Wars fandom, and it's just a good thing, dude. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Now, to wrap it up, we always want to know, you know, there's now more than ever, and I've said this a few times, now more than ever, but now it means more than ever now than the last time I said it.
Before, yeah.
We've got so many things to look forward to in Star Wars. We've got animation, multiple live action TV shows, multiple films that we don't even know what they're going to be about, and good old Star Wars Episode 9. What are you most looking forward to, Brandon?
Man, that's a tough pull with so many options, but I'm going to have to say Episode 9. As bad as I want to say Mandalorian or Rian Johnson's trilogy, I think wrapping up this last one is going to be pretty great, pretty special.
Yeah, I can't. It's all about the saga. Like everything else, that's some sweet gravy. And, you know, thank God. I love gravy, you guys. I'm exceptional at making it. But, yeah, like all the other shows seem like so interesting and then the other one's just so open to like what could they possibly be thinking up. In the case of the film series, is that we don't even know, but the Skywalker saga,
I know, and the Mandalorian is the shiny object right now. You know, we're getting these photos of it. Jason's covering it all the time. We're getting stories and casting, and so it's easy to go, oh, that's what I want, which I'm excited about. I can't wait. But we're talking Skywalker trilogy. Goes back since 77. Like seeing this wrap up is going to be a special day. I can't wait to see what they come up with Carrie, what they do for Carrie. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome year.
It's going to be something. It's going to be something. And we'll be talking about the Kessel Toy Run 3, I hope, in the lead up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've always said since the beginning we would do this for a while and, you know, see if we could maintain it. And as long as everyone's into it, I'll keep doing it.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
From the response we've seen, I'm pretty sure we're going to at least do number 3.
Very cool. Do you have a final Toy Run story to leave us with, Brandon?
The only thing I can say is that, you know, everyone's donations that came in, even the hospital staff was floored by how much we collected. And I explained to them that these were all just awesome fans that, you know, for whatever reason, believed in an idea, and they could not be more excited about how much the kids knew about Star Wars and how much they talked about it after we left. So I don't have a specific story, just, you know, what everyone's doing is making a difference, whether you get to see your specific toy donated or not. Trust me, it's making a huge impact on these kids. So thank you, everybody.
What if it's just uncovered that you're a very benevolent, excellent shoplifter?
I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, we'll cross that one when we get to it, buddy.
Yeah.
Brandon, thanks so much, man, for the podcast and for organizing this amazing project. If you're in the States, you know, send stuff in. If you're overseas, you know, check out the Amazon wish list. You know, you can send a $5 gift and it's going to, you know, it's probably the best value $5 that you're going to spend. And if we got just a smidgen of our listenership, you know, dropping some $5 gifts, we're going to create a very nice problem for Brandon's storage requirements and stuff like that, which is, you know, I like you, Brandon, but it's the type of problem I want to inflict on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. we'll figure it out. We got contingency plans if it starts getting too out of control.
Nice. Love it. Let's test those contingency plans, people. Check out all the details in the show notes. And if you can, chuck in an item or two, and it's going to be going to an awesome place. Brandon, thanks so much, man. And may that force be with you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Hey, guys. I really, 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 like, especially hope you enjoyed that really fun episode and inspiring episode with Brandon Manriquez from the Kessel Toy Run. As we talked about several times throughout the podcast, there are several ways you can help out. All are linked in this episode's show notes. So if you're listening to this episode in a podcast app, in this episode's show description, there will be links for easy ways to help out. You can send in package Star Wars toys directly to Brandon. You can go through the Amazon wish list and click a toy to send to a young kid, probably the easiest way. Or if you want to help out while getting some super fun Star Wars holiday listening, check out the Blue Harvest Holiday Special on Bandcamp, all hosted by our man, Hawes Burkhart. All those three ways are listed in the show notes, and all items, big or small, all go towards putting a smile on a little sick Padawan's face, which, in my opinion, is what Christmas is all about. It's what Star Wars is all about, and it should be what Star Wars fandom is all about. And thank you, Brandon, for leading the way on this great project. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to help spread the good word, give us a share or a retweet on social media. And if you're in the LA area, we have got our final live podcast of the year on December 15th at 4 p.m. at Geeky Tees in Burbank. That's it for the plugs this week. If you can, help out with the Kessel Toy Run. It is such a positive thing for these kids and for Star Wars fandom. Thank you guys so much, and may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
If you're after more Star Wars listening, please check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net, where you can find such great podcasts as Blue Harvest, First Order Transmissions, Idiots Array, Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting, Podcast 2187, Rebel Girl, Rogue One, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Cargo Hold, and The Sith List. So that's planetbroadcasting.com and makingstarwars.net. Los Angeles tickets are now on sale for our final live podcast of the year at Geeky Tees, Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. For the first time ever, we'll be doing a live podcast version of our annual Listener Prediction Review Show, where we review all the Star Wars news predictions that you guys made at the start of the year. I'll be joined on stage by a grip of previous Steel Wars guests, along with the live audience, to help us decide who was the Jedi Master Star Wars predictor for 2018. And spoiler alert, I did not fare well in this competition. It's going to be a hilarious afternoon of live Star Wars fun, Saturday, December 15th, 4 p.m. at Geeky Tees Burbank. Tickets are on sale at merchostore.com. The link is in the show notes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.